Oral Roberts was one of my favorite preachers way back when. And Oral Roberts had a healing ministry along with a lot of other preachers. And one of the songs that they would sing as part of his ministry was Something's Good is Going to Happen to You. But my question to all of us today in 2024, do you believe in miracles? And if you do, how do you define a miracle? Well, sometimes in our culture, we have come to disregard miracles, unfortunately, because we set the bar so high for what wows and pows us at the end is missing all the small miracles around us. I've seen big miracles, thanks be to God, but we have small miracles all around us 24/7. Now, we can still expect big miracles. And I think most of us have seen in the last few months some of the college campuses. Now, there's been a lot of things going on in college campuses that we wonder about. But there's also good things going on in the college campuses that started at Asbury some months ago, and even at Florida State and down at the University of Florida and a lot of other campuses around the country. There is a Holy Spirit move of God. So what about the miracles that we experience every single day? And probably for the most part, we just take them for granted. One of them that comes to mind is the miracle of birth, the miracle of life itself, the miracle of our universe. Now I'm wondering, I digress, the Starliner that Boeing made that went up, took the astronauts up to the space station, and then they couldn't come back down because they found some leaks in the capsule. Did they ever come back? I don't know. I have to ask my Google assistant. I said to Judy this morning, I wonder if they ever got back to Earth. Anyhow, the miracles of our universe, but more importantly, the miracle of a single seed. The miracles are all around us to remind us that we are not alone, but also that the human beings could never duplicate the vastness, the complexity, and the miraculous nature of God's created world. Now, we can modify seeds, but science has never yet been able to create a seed. They can modify it, but they can't create it. And the heirloom seeds are very popular today because it brings back to a normal thing of the seed harvesting and getting producing more seeds and different things like that. But we can't do it beyond our capabilities and our comprehension. Even the best physicists and astronomers can't figure out the underlying secrets of the universe and how it operates or even how it's originated. As much as we'd like to ignore these kind of dilemmas, they still remain. We can't control or explain or predict or create much of what we have steward over on this planet. We don't own anything. Everything belongs to God. We're just to be good stewards of it. And we can observe it. We can create a lot of different things in our life. We can be industrious, and we can make the most of what has been given in trust by God for us and for us to use. But we are not and never will be the creator and the owner of the vineyard. When Jesus attempted to explain our scripture today and how we are to behave as trustees of God's created world, the job entails us being part of God's vineyard workers in order to ensure a kingdom kind of community. And he explained it in terms of seed sowing and seed scattering. The kingdom of God is if somebody would scatter seed on the ground and would sleep and it would rise up night and day and the seed would sprout and grow, but he does not know when the grain is going to be ripe. At once he goes with his sickle and he sees that it's ripe for harvest, the harvest comes. There it is. We are the sowers and we are also the harvesters. That's our job. We sow seeds and we gather in. We sow, God creates, we celebrate. That's it. That's the way it works. Pretty simple, isn't it? We plant seeds and God will do the rest. I'm trying to grow some grass around the house. When we built the house, you're supposed to have 10 feet of grass around the house. You know, they want you to make sure the foundation don't wash away, and that's good. So I didn't go get sod. I decided to do something different. And so far it's working, except the seed that I planted, grass was growing, and this sun came out and killed it. It's going, boom, it's gone. We as humans make this process incredibly hard. First of all, we hate sowing seed. Even when we do, we pretty much kill that plant before anything can even take root with our expectation or even our pessimism. And if we do attempt to grow, instead of letting God do his part, we feel the need to plan it, schedule it, strategize it, create outcomes for it, make goals out of it, numeralize it, create statistics from it, and set up a success chart. But sometimes it's success failure out of it, and anything to keep our hands in the pie ourselves and to control the outcomes. That's what's happened years ago, and I've been part of the United Methodist Church for a long, long time, and when we wanted to grow the church, we'd form a committee, and we'd get the committee, and we would come up with a program, and we would do the program, and then if that program didn't work, we'd come up with another program, and I don't know. It evidently didn't work because we're on the downside. Avoiding anything to put our faith into Jesus Christ and to rely on God's role in the process. Because the bottom line is that we, in the basis of our hearts, believe that we are the only ones who can fix our declining numbers. We need to own up to it. Christians, though, as we may be, most of us in our hearts do not truly believe that God can still work miracles. I'm praying for a miracle for this little church, that God is present and is capable of doing the work that Jesus tells us God can do and God will. We believe that if something is to change, we must do it. And how has that worked for us? Not so good. The irony is because our efforts in creating results, our way has often failed. We have not only given up on God's ability and our own, we have given up on the sowing altogether. So not only do we have given up that the belief that God can make change for us, also given us the belief that we can do it on our own, now in utter disillusionment over our existential dilemma, we have given up on trying at all. Yeah, we do not know and recognize is that the church cannot reproduce. Like any other crop or animal, it'll eventually die out if the church doesn't reproduce. So what do we do? Do we simply sit back and wait for our demise? Or do we go back to the scripture and listen to what Jesus is telling us and begin our process over again in a different and more faithful way? Can we begin again sowing seeds? Linda and I talk about this a lot, about sowing seeds. We got to sow seeds. We got to be in the harvesting of the joy and leave everything up to God. But we got to be planting seeds. We got a community here that the soil for planting seeds is very rich and can very well produce. So instead of planting, can we begin planting? Like all gardeners and farmers know, cultivating a field is an organic process. And when you plant it too much on your own terms, you kill it. You need to water certain crops in certain amounts. You got to be sensitive to some of the plants and the sunlight and others in the shade. And you need to allow them to grow and flourish without trying to harvest them too soon. Everything in God's time. God gave us a clue in Ecclesiastes 3. There's a time for everything. Some plants may wither, others may grow, like weeds, depending on the soil and the weather and many other conditions. But, I love the buts, but what God touches will bloom and grow. For Jesus, the kingdom of God, the people of God that his disciples are to heal and to love in his name, will grow and flourish according to the will of God. We don't need to force them. We don't need to trick them. We don't need to push them into becoming what we imagine they should be. All we need to do is sow. Sow God's seeds of love and grace, and God will work miracles in their lives. In our world today, our churches must again learn to seed and dare to plant. Without the need to plan outcomes and set goals, because goals really are efforts to ensure that we benefit from the labors. But this is not God's way. When we seed and plan according to God's will, without expectation, plan for the self-benefit or control, we will witness the kinds of miracles that God will do in the lives of others. So planting and seeding is something that we do to benefit somebody else. It's a commitment to feed others. And if you think about the farmers or the gardeners for a moment, there's a reason that Jesus used these organic metaphors. Farmers don't only farm to feed themselves, they farm to feed others. They farm to feed the world. And the more they plant, the more they feed. And their livelihood is bound up with the livelihood of others. You can't plan for the success of your crop. Any of you who've been farming or gardening, you know that you just can't depend on it. And farmers, a lot of farmers go broke, but they keep going back and they plant next year and they harvest and they keep on doing. They never give up. The farmers control, but they can't control the weather. They can't control bad soil. They can't control natural disasters. They can't control drought. And more importantly, they can't control rain. South Florida got 20 inches of rain the other day. A farmer does not have security, but that farmer has faith and hope. A farmer that does not commit to omniscience, but commit to the daily discipline, daily prayer, perseverance, a team effort to seed that land and care for it for the best of his or her ability. The truth is this, we don't need to be actual farmers to plant the way God intended. In fact, God directed us from time to time in the Garden of Eden. He asked us to till and keep the covenant of God between our divine creator and all of mankind, and to bear the fruit of that relationship to all generations. We are seed bearers and seed sowers, and we are to plant the seeds of love, hope, prayer, and the gospel of Jesus Christ, and allow God to work the miracles among the people that only God can do. Only God can do it. Jesus is commissioning words to Peter when he prepared him for the task of ministering to the world in need for these words: feed my sheep. Feed my sheep. Feed my sheep. So if we take Jesus' commission seriously to contemplate Jesus' vision of the kingdom of God here on earth, created with our help, our discipline, our agencies, our grit, or requires us to be planters of seed, not just to serve up dinner for our own family, but to feed a world starving for the grace of God in their lives. Planting cultivates faith, and the more that you plant without expectation, the more you'll find that you are planting in faith. Jesus tells us that all it takes is a little bit of love, a little bit of faith to start an entire movement. A mustard seed can do the job, he said. Just a little bit of faith in God's ability and power, and the kingdom community that Jesus imagined will grow like a weed. So we seed, we plant, we pray, we believe, and when God's miracles begin to happen, we get out of the way. Planting seeds of love for the future must be the primary industry of the church. If the church is to survive beyond its current generations, it must begin to sow the seeds and let that seeds reproduce. We can't control it. We cannot decide it. We cannot plan it. We cannot make it happen, but we can serve in God's vineyard and witness to the miracles around us. God can lift up a church that has been planted in faith. We always like history, especially the traditions and the history of Bethel Methodist Church that became the Bethel United Methodist Church, started down here at that little pond by a group of people that had nothing but faith. Some of you tell the stories of some of the people during the hard times of this church would sit on the front doorstep all week long and just pray. And now look at almost 190 years, and here we are still here. It boils down to people with faith, God's faith, as seed bearers of the kingdom and farmers of the kind of love and mercy that only true disciples of Christ can produce, and that hope that we have in Christ. Now, you don't have to go out here in the neighborhood like the Jehovah's Witnesses, blah, blah, blah. But biggest mission field that we have anywhere is our own family. People that we live with, kids that we have, that we see sometimes, and, you know, plant those seeds of love and grace. May God's presence be with you forever as you continue to be a seed planter. And your work will be the stuff of God's miracles. Amen.